Thank you for having us in. Once again, appreciate it, the opportunity. And for many of you that have been praying for us and know of us, just thank you. Like I said in Sunday school, out there on the table, we have our prayer cards, updated ones. Our kids are much older. Man, they grow up way too fast, don't they?
Amen.
I can't believe she's about to turn 20. Whew. Anyways, take a prayer card, please, and pray for us and your other missionaries on a regular basis. And, well, after today, we'll see you here, there, in the air. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Like always, just one foot in front of the other. Keep on moving forward for the Lord. Go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And if you can grab Mark 16 at the same time. 1 Corinthians 15, Mark 16. What are you eating for barbecue?
Burgers, dogs.
Mmm. How could you not come for that? Here in 1 Corinthians 15, what we have here is the gospel. And religious-wise, I'll just put it that way, you're going to hear a lot about the gospel and evangelizing and the gospel. but there are a lot of false gospels out there. And false witnesses and false churches. Right here, what we see is the biblical definition of the gospel. And it says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." And he's gonna tell you what the gospel is here in a couple of verses. "Which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved." And so that gospel is the thing that's going to bring you unto salvation. It's going to save your soul. And that gospel is, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Number one, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Number two, in that He was buried. And number three, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll continue on. Father, we come to you and just thank you for this opportunity this morning with the freedom, the liberty that we have to be able to gather together under you, under the name of Jesus Christ, and under your word, and praise you, glorify you, hear from you, Lord. And I do ask that you would do all that, that you would move about our hearts, that you would give us the things that we need through that Holy Spirit, Lord, and you'd guide me with my words and thoughts and spirit and everything, Lord, that you would be glorified and that you would help the people to respond as you would have them respond. In Jesus Christ's name we ask, we praise you, amen. And so here we have the gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is number one, that Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. Number two, he was buried. Number three, he rose again after the third day. We have a God that doesn't just sit up in the corner of heaven somewhere and twiddle his thumbs and do whatever that God does. We have a God that came and lived in the flesh as you and I live in the flesh and was tempted according, I'm thinking Spanish verses here. I promise you I have a King James Bible. who was tempted in every way that we were tempted, yet without sin. That's pretty amazing.
Yep.
And as we're going to see some things about that gospel and about him dying for us. But the gospel here of him coming and dying for our sins and being buried and risen again after 3 days, there's an importance behind it that you see in Mark chapter 16. I told you to grab Mark 16 there. You look at the verse 15. It says, Jesus Christ telling his disciples, his apostles and disciples there, And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The importance of, I mean, this thing is so important that God says, get it in the whole world. Go unto the whole world. We're talking today, in today's age, more than 8 billion people. Get unto these people and preach the gospel. Not just the people, it says to every creature. I don't fully understand that. Yeah. I tell people, hey, if you're scared to preach the gospel, start with the chickens, man. They respond. Rah, rah. They listen to you. Hey, it's a good place to start, but preach the gospel. Why? Why is the gospel so important that we need to get it into the whole world? And we get into this spiritual fight, if you know nothing about it. If you've been here for some time, you read your Bible, you know about this Christian life. It's a fight. It's a good fight of faith, it's called. It's a war that's going on, a battle that's constant, it seems like. A lot of pressure comes with it at times. There's a lot of glorious times as well. Just like, you know, normal life, but in a spiritual sense. But there's just this utmost importance of, he says, go into the whole world and preach it. And that's what I want to give you today. Why the gospel? Why missions? That is the Great Commission, to preach the gospel into the whole world. And why is it so important? And so we're going to start with some basic things. I'm not going to preach anything new under the sun. I can't. There's nothing new under the sun, right? Are you with me on that? I'm not going to give you something spectacular and marvelous. Go to Romans chapter 3. We're going to start with a few basic things here. And what I'm praying that the Lord does, and I believe He will do, is put something in your heart, what you need to hear, what you need to get from Him. Amen. And so why the gospel? Why is this thing so important? Well, number one, we see in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 here, it says, that is, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Number one, there is no righteous person in this earth. You can take your hero, and a lot of people, like we heard yesterday, if you went to the wedding, they say you never want to meet your heroes. I think there's a lot of truth in that, because you're let down. There is none righteous. There is none just. And you see in verse 23, it says, for all have sinned. Why the gospel? We're sinners. We've all sinned. The whole world. There's none righteous. There's none that are going to come into power and do absolute righteousness and do the right thing every single time with every decision that they make. There's just no way. And we ourselves, we are sinners. And if you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, praise God, by the grace of God, you are saved. It's not nothing by what you did. You're a sinner, just as well as I'm a sinner. And we still have sin on this flesh, and every day it's battling against us to want to do and desire to do and think and act on these different things that come into this rotten mind every single day. And it says here, and I've come short of the glory of God. And that's the problem. We've come short of the glory of God. The glory of God being heaven, where God sits and dwells as pure righteousness without sin. We have come short of being able to get into the glory of God and dwell with Him and be in heaven. God is not going to allow our sin into heaven, because if He allows our sin into heaven, well, it's not much of a heaven. It'd be just like this earth that we dwell in, and like many people believe and say, if you witness and talk to people, well, I believe this heaven is, you know, heaven and hell, and they say all of these different things. It doesn't even come close, man. This world is corrupt, it's horrible, it's wicked, and you can't trust it, and there's no peace at any time, it seems like. And we've come short of being able to go to that glorious place with God. Chapter 5, why does this have to be? We look in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Like I said, some basic things. Wherefore, as by one man, and that's Adam from the beginning with Eve, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And as it says, you know, when Adam partook and he took that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, and his eyes were opened and he was awakened to the fact that he had sin on him. And now, ever since then, every single one of us, we're all born in that image of Adam. And that sinful nature, we all have it. All these little ones, they got it. And I mean, especially moms, not so much dads usually, but your little angels, they got it in them. And that's why you take a little baby who's got a clean diaper and has been fed and doesn't have any issues. They're all good, warm and comfortable. And you lay them down, and what do they do? You just want me to pick you up. And you got those little kids, and you tell them, don't take any cookies yet, it's not time. And you turn around and turn back around, and they're like, crumbs falling out of the mouth. What do you got there, Mutton? Dirty, rotten little sinner. We got it in us. It's the sinful nature. You're not going to get around it. We're born in the image of Adam. Don't forget where you came from. If you are sitting here saved today. Because at times we sit in church and we check off those boxes of I read my Bible and I pray and I go to church and I try to be a good person. And we kind of think that's the Christian life, and it's so far from the Christian life. I mean, it's part of it, but it's kind of like the base, you know, the foundation. And you start thinking you're something pretty special, something pretty good. You're still a dirty, rotten sinner just like the rest of us. And stop it. Stop thinking things up here where you're not. Well, why the gospel? As it says there, and so death passed upon all men. We die. We die because of it. And it says here in chapter 6, if you look with me in chapter 6 and verse 23, some of you have these memorized. Praise the Lord. You need to memorize them. If you don't have these memorized, these are basic verses that you need to give people to lead them to Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you sit here today and you don't know it, you're seeing it. Praise the Lord. It says, for the wages of sin is death. And some of you out there, you know what wages are. You work at, you know, you go to work, and what do you, hey, man, I got some wages coming to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. In today's day and age, I don't know how it works, but McDonald's, you're making $20 an hour. I can't even fathom that. I remember $20 an hour back in the day. It was like, wow, okay. Anyways, you know what wages are, and you want them. Well, the wages for your sin is death. And that's why we die all the way from infancy, all the way to, well, I don't know how old the oldest person is that lives these days, 110, something like that. We're dying. You're not getting around that. And just some of the thoughts that we have, you know, the crazy thoughts that we have as a natural man in this world, I used to think as a kid, I knew God was real, and I did not want to go to hell. I knew heaven and hell was real, and I always wanted to go to heaven, didn't know how, but I lived in a town of 1,500 people, and we had 7 different churches, and I knew, I mean, when you live in a town of 1,500 people, you know everybody, and you know everything. And I knew the people, and I knew the ones that went to all these different churches. It was like, I want nothing of that. And your testimony is something important and special. You should hold on to that and make it right. And anyways, I remember thinking, you know what? Maybe if I just don't put any toxins in my body, I don't smoke or drink or do any of the things that people do, you know, I'll be able to live forever. I won't die. No, the answer to the reason of death is sin. And we all got it. You're not getting around it. You're not getting around it. And we're going to die completely in three ways. And Jesus Christ showed that as he died in three ways. He's sitting there hanging on that cross, and he says, Father, under thy hands I commend my spirit. We have a spirit that God has given us that gives us life, and it leaves. It's gone. Life is gone. We have a body, and we all know how our body's going to pay for the sin that's in it. Dust unto dust, ashes unto ashes. You're going to return. We all see it. We all know it. many of us in here have experienced it in our families and loved ones, close ones. This body is going back to the earth unless Jesus Christ comes back and raptures us out before that. But number three, the most important part, as Jesus Christ says that his soul was an offering unto sin, our soul is eternal. It's going to live forever. That is you. That's who you are. And you are going to live forever in one place or the other, and that is heaven or hell. And I want to talk about the first one. Actually, it wasn't the first one, but hell. I want to speak of hell. I want to speak of this place because the wages of sin is death. And if you don't have that sin covered and you don't have that payment for sin and you got wages to pay for that sin, your soul is going to pay for that sin in a place called hell. And look in Luke chapter 16. And remember what we're thinking about here. Why the gospel? Why is this so important? In Luke chapter 16 here, we see a very clear picture of hell. This is not a fable, a myth, a story. It is a story, but it's a true story that Jesus Christ told of a certain rich man in verse 19, and then a beggar, a poor man in verse 20 named Lazarus, and they both die in verse 22. And it says, it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. It's a doctrinal thing, and before Jesus Christ ever died on that cross and paid for our sin, that was what was heaven, Abraham's bosom. But the rich man, you notice that he also died, and nothing special happened to him. He was buried. But I want you to notice what happened with his soul. It says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. He found himself in an eternal life being in hell. And in this place, it says being in torments. It's not a good place. I think we all know this. Everybody knows this. It's no secret. But what I really want to give you something vivid here. It's something that you need. If you want to get some kind of eternal vision, you got to start thinking eternal. And you got to start thinking about that glorious eternal place, God's glory, where God dwells in heaven. And you need to think about that eternal, tormented place of hell. And you need a clear picture of it. This place is torments. It says, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried unto and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. I mean, he's crying, he's in torments, he's languishing. It says, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I mean, in such great torments, it's an eternal flame, and he just desires just one single drop on the tip of his tongue, just something to refresh, just a drop on the tip of my tongue. I mean, could you imagine that much torment where you just give me something? That's horrible. And not only that, look over with me in Matthew chapter 13. We're going to kind of spell this out pretty clear. Why the gospel is so important. Look here in Matthew 13. We're going to look at verse 41 here. Jesus Christ speaking. We already know it's flames. We know it's torments. It says in verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. This is talking about the end of time. And them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. And look what it says here. Not only is it furnace of fire and flames, but it says there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I don't know. I don't think there's too many people here that have heard gnashing of teeth. It's a grinding and gritting of those teeth because of just a deep pain. And wailing. Probably not too many people heard that unless you've been in some pretty bad accident. I mean, just the torment, the pain, the gnashing of teeth. And you look here in chapter 8, In chapter 8, look with me, please, in chapter 8, verse 12. We need to keep these things in mind as we're living this Christian life and dealing with people out there. It says in Matthew 8, 12, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Not only is this place aflame and torments and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, but it's a complete and utter darkness. And you can hear the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, but see nothing and be in torments. I can't even fathom that. I remember as a kid, you know, thinking those thoughts and thinking, man, when I die, it's like I'm just like not going to exist. I don't know. I'm going to be in utter darkness. And man, it freaked me out. It scared me. And I didn't want to think about it. And, you know, we do things in this life to try and like put that off and not think about it. No, we need to think about it. We need to know about it. It's the most important thing that we can know about is what's going to happen in eternity. It's eternal because you look here and jump with me over to Mark chapter 9. Look with me in Mark chapter 9, verse 43. The last thing that I want to get across here about this place in Mark 9, verse 43, Jesus Christ speaking again, he says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off, for it is better..." He's talking to Jews, and this is something a little bit different. "So it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." It never stops. Ever. And that's our eternal destination because of the wages of our sin. We have a God that is omniscient, meaning he knows everything from Alpha to Omega, beginning to end. He knows it all. He knew what was going to happen when he created Adam and Eve. He knew that we were going to sin. He knew this world would be filled with violence and iniquity. I mean, come on, guys. I don't even like the world that we live in. You can't even, when I was a kid and it wasn't even good back then, we could ride around on our bikes around town all day and have fun and just make sure you're back before dark. I won't let my kids out of my sight these days. And they're 20 and 16 years old. It's like, no, this world's wicked, man. Yeah. It's wicked. And we got a God that knew that and still created us. And not only did he create us, and you can see it from the beginning, he knew he was going to fix it himself. You have a God unlike any God there that you know in this world, because there's millions of God. He is the God of gods. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is God. He came and manifested himself in the flesh just like us. And he knew he was never going to die. Do you understand that? We're going to die. We have sin. He could have lived forever. They were going to take him as king. You read there in one passage, and he's like, nope, not time. He could have been king of this world a long time ago and lived forever without us. But you have a God that says, I give my life. They could have stabbed him all they wanted. He wasn't going to die. But he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And for the hours before that moment when he let that spirit go so he could die, he suffered thinking of my sin and shedding that precious sinless blood for my sin, to pay for me, so that I could go to heaven. That is a marvelous, miraculous, wonderful God that you have. If you don't have him today, the Bible says it's so simple, that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You don't have to give money. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to be a good person, because it's not based on you. You have a God that did it for you. That is a God worthy of all love and adoration. And all you got to do is, Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner and I know and I'm going to hell. Save me from my sin. That's what I did back in 2005. I ran to my bedroom as soon as I found out, got down on my knees and was like, God, this has got to be it. I want Jesus Christ. I want to be saved. And in that moment, boom. It's not a progressive thing. It's a moment. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God, boom, come inside of you. And they circumcise, they take away your soul from this flesh and all that dirty, wicked sin you've done in your life. And He washes you completely and seals your soul. Amen. You live inside of the Holy Spirit today if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you have not received Jesus Christ, your eternal destination is where your sin is. Hell. Jesus Christ took all that sin and wickedness that He became and paid for and threw it in the depths of hell, and there it is waiting. It either is covered by the payment of Jesus Christ and what He did for you, or it's covered by you and you're going to pay it. You can receive Jesus Christ today and be saved. Amen. In a moment. That is a wonderful God. Why the gospel? Why is it so important? Because we have an eternal destination of hell and fire and gnashing and wailing of teeth and utter darkness and torments for eternity without it. That gospel is what saves us. Amen. And if we sit here today and we're saved and we know we're going to heaven, man, praise the Lord. And you ought to be here. You ought to be involved in something that's eternal and that's going to go out and glorify God and give other people the gospel in this area and get part of missions and giving the gospel into the other parts of the world. I mean, what are you doing if you're not getting in? Just buying things? Come on. And get in. Look at here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm giving you a little bit of a charge here. Might not feel good. This is good. I'm telling you, this is good for us. We need this. It says here in 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 18. It says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You sit here today reconciled by Jesus Christ. That means there was you and God completely and utterly separated by sin, not just distance. And you have been reconciled, put back together with God by Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And now He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are to go out and be ambassadors, as it says in a couple verses down, and just speak of Jesus Christ and tell them what Jesus Christ did for them, so that they can be reconciled to God by Jesus Christ, just like you were. I don't know how to... You get somebody saved. You don't save anybody. You give them the message. You give them the gospel. Well, I don't know what to say. How did you get saved? That's it. Look with me over here in Matthew chapter 9. I think something we're going to see that it's sad. It's hard. In Matthew 9 and verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they were fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers, what does that say, are few. So sad. The harvest out there of lost souls dying and going to hell is plenteous, especially in today's day and age. But the laborers that are actually going out into this world, starting in Jerusalem, right here, and where we at, Ridgefield, and moving out into Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth, the laborers are few. And don't raise your hand or anything, but I mean, ask yourself, when was the last time you told somebody about Jesus Christ? When was the last time you gave a gospel tract to somebody? Or you because maybe you're scared and you don't know how to do it, it's fine. You leave it somewhere and you kind of run away and they'll get it. You're getting the gospel. When was the last time? The laborers are few. And you know what it is? A lot of times is in today's day and age, we're just missing one key thing. One key element of giving the gospel out, it's in verse 36 when he says, but when he saw the multitudes, he is moved with compassion. Why the gospel? I painted the picture so clear from the Word of God. You can't miss it. These people that don't have Jesus Christ, that we're around all day and every day. We're at work with them. We go to the grocery store with them. We're at the gas station with them. They serve our food. They're people in our families. I mean, every single person in this room, we got people in our lives near and far that don't have Jesus Christ. They're going to hell. Where's the compassion to give them the gospel? And it's because we lack a vision. I mean, that person right here, I don't know, right there, right across the street from us. We go to the grocery store and we pay money to the person standing right in front of us. Where are they going? And the clearest kind of vision that I can give is something. I'm not a person of visions and wonders and all that, so don't think I'm going there with that. But I was sleeping one night, and just a little backstory. I got saved, first one in my family that I knew of, and we turned our lives. And man, I was excited to tell my family because I finally found out how to go to heaven, and my family didn't know how, obviously, so they're going to be excited. And boy, they weren't excited. I started preaching Jesus Christ, and my family, they just kind of stopped talking to me, period, for like 2 years. Like, they wanted nothing to do with me. Whoa, the religious freak, the Jesus freak, the Bible thumper, man, he's way too far out there. And anyways, one night I was sleeping, and I kind of woke up from this dream that was just so vivid. And what it was is, it was my brother. My brother was standing, it was dark, and he was in this flame, and his skin was just melting off, and he was looking right up at me, and he's like, Adam, and he's bawling and just screaming, Adam, help me! Help me! And I just wanted to help him, and I didn't know what to do, and I woke up, and it was just like, oh my goodness, God, what do I do? He doesn't want to hear it. I mean, he doesn't even really talk to me, and I don't want that to happen to him. It's everybody. Yeah. It's your schoolmates, your work coworkers, and your loved ones, and people at the grocery store, it's all of them. That's their eternal state. Where's the compassion? And I'm sitting there like, God, what do I do? You know what he said? You know what he said to me? Go. Go to his house. He doesn't want to listen. He's rejected so many times. Go to his house. Okay. Okay. You know, I'm praying about it, and it was clear as day, go. And so I went to his house, and he's 5 years younger than me, so I kind of pulled the bigger brother, you know, trump card out. And I was like, hey, man, I know that you don't want to hear it, but I'm your older brother, so sit down, shut up, and listen. And I need to give you a couple verses, and then you can do whatever you want with it. But I need to tell you. And he's like, okay. Oh. And I sat with him for like a half an hour and went over just the simple verses of Romans that I gave you. And he asked some other questions, and he didn't get saved that day. He didn't get saved. But what'd I do? Yep. Went, planted that seed. About 3 weeks later, he shows up at church with us. Got saved. Go! What are you doing? Go! That's what God was telling me. Go! Where's your compassion? I know the state of our nation. It's no secret. We have a very clear-cut decision. Not decision. I don't know the word that I'm thinking of. But it's it's clear-cut, divided. That's what I want to say, is divided. I mean, it's a very fine line. It's not like there's a bit. No, this is like you're here or you're here. And there's a divine purpose behind that. If you read your Bible, any nation divided against itself cannot stand. If you want to know what's going to happen to America in the next few years that are coming, the Bible already tells you. This nation will not stand. It is divided. And if you're on any kind of social media, podcast, news, I don't care what it is, if you're on here, you're on, especially if you're in it, you're on one side or the other, and you've lost your eternal vision. Because we see these people and we see their flags flying, and what's the immediate thought and feeling that comes within us? Oh man, they're wicked and they just hate us and what? You need to throw your cell phone away if you're in that kind of spot. Get off the social media. Where is your eternal vision? These people are souls. Just like me. 23 years of my life living like the devil. Man, I did it all. I was in the military, guys. If you know any military, army brats, infantry people, that was me. No hope. Without God, without Christ, living in wickedness, you never would have known that I wanted to go to heaven. You would have never have known it until somebody had compassion on me. There's that cute little lady back there. And inviting me to church and asking me about God. What's gonna happen with these? We know what's gonna happen with these people. I ask, where's your compassion on them? Where is your vision? I mean, look here in Jude with me. Look here in the book of Jude, towards the end. Towards the end of verse 20, we'll start. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. You know that with compassion, you can make a difference in this world? We all want to make a difference, and we're all falling on these sides of different issues and agendas and all that. And man, I just want people to know the truth. And like, when was the last time that you told some liberal about the right side, what do we call it, conservative side of issues? And they're like, Well, you know what? I think I want to be a Republican now. Come on. Come on. You're not changing their minds. Just like they're not going to change your mind. But with a little bit of compassion on their soul, you can make a difference. An eternal difference. You can do it. You can make a difference in this world by just having a little bit of compassion with an eternal vision of what's going to happen with these people. Yeah, we still have a normal life to live. We go to work, we come home, we go to bed, we go to different events, we come to church. Yeah, we got lives to live, but man, we see so many people every day in between all of that. We got, I don't know, maybe you don't have any lost friends because you're like, I'm too good for them, man. I meet some lost people that are great people. They need the Lord, so what do? I bring them over to the good side. Amen, right? Yeah. Having a little bit of compassion on them. They're not perfect. They're all tattooed up, head to toe, and piercings. Man, I've seen people with like 15 piercings in their face. It's like, wow. What's going to happen to them? Man, my brother had earrings this big whenever he got saved. Not today. Man, today he's a good, God-fearing man. Takes a little bit of compassion. Yeah. And we can make a difference. And we should be making a difference. And I just ask you today, what kind of difference are you making? What are you doing? What are you doing with your life that God has given you on this earth? What are we doing with the gospel? Why is the gospel so important? Well, without the gospel, you wouldn't be saved today. Without the gospel, we'd all be damned to an eternity in hell. That gospel is the most important thing I think there probably is on this earth, especially in today's day and age. And it's up to us to go out and make a difference. What are you doing with it? At this time, Pastor?